Our returning guest from Microsoft, Jesse Liberty, joins us to talk about data binding. He gives a great overview of what data binding is and how it's used. With Jesse Liberty. Let's listen to the interview now.
Jesse Liberty, welcome back to this podcast.
Thank you, Eric. I'm very, very excited to be here again.
Yeah, we are absolutely excited to have you back. Now, I'm wondering, can you give us this tour like you're good at about data binding?
Data binding has been a concept and a goal for years for developers. The idea is that I have controls that display on whatever application I'm building, and I have data. And I typically start out by writing code that says, okay, my data has a name and this control is going to display it, so write the name into the control, and then I have an address and write it into this control, and then I have, you know, how many I have on hand, so write it in, and each piece of data gets written into its individual control, and then the user makes changes and I have to write it back to wherever I got the data from. And so it's pretty clear that you want to be able to say, look, here's my data, here's my controls, just talk to each other, just, you know, match up. There was a while that it was kind of like Rocky and Bullwinkle. That trick never works.
Right.
And so for a while, the vendors would show data binding, and it would look great, and it made great demos until you tried to do anything commercial with it, anything real with it. And what you discovered was that it worked great until you didn't do exactly what they had anticipated, and then you had to write your own. And I would say that that situation really continued for me, at least personally speaking, until .NET. Where Microsoft really cracked that for me was in providing two things. One was every data binding step was hookable through events. So anything that didn't work the way I wanted it to, I could grab that event and I could make a change. And the other was having a series of properties on the control that I could set. That gave me the flexibility to trust to the automated data binding. So the idea now is that I have my UI, which has a whole set of controls. So picture a screen that has text boxes and text blocks and list boxes and radio buttons and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then I have one or more blocks of data. And these days, I'm hoping what I have is a business object or a series of business objects that contain data, but also contain relationships and other important information. And I can bind those business objects to those visual objects and say, here's where you get your data from. Now, of course, that's not the only thing I can bind to. I can bind to an XML file. I can bind to a mail message. I can bind to anything that has data. My preference is to bind to business objects because then I get that extra layer of control and separation between the visualization and the underlying business logic. But the idea, essentially, is that we have an automation of the display and also the retrieval. If the user changes, interacts with the visuals, you know, pick something out of the list box or changes something in a text box, that automatically I know is going to be validated and then put back into the data source.
Right, right. So we can have this sort of information that flows from the business objects to the visual layer, but then it can also flow backwards. Do we have that sort of directionality support in Silverlight?
Yes, Silverlight does two things here in addition to what .NET already provides. And I want to start by saying that an imperative in Silverlight is to keep clear separation between the visual layer and the data layer. And also to support a separation between the data logic layer and the persistence layer. But let's stay with the visual layer. So while there is data binding, absolutely tremendous support for data binding, there is still clear separation of responsibility. However, there is a good deal of support through the binding engine that not only provides support for binding any number of kinds of data, that is business objects, XML files, virtually any kind of data you can think of, including REST and JSON and other things that you might get from a web service. As part of that data binding, there is data validation and data conversion. There's also what is called a mode, and Silverlight supports three modes, and here you're trading off efficiency for flexibility. The most efficient mode is one time, and that says we're going to get the data from the source, we're going to put it into the display, and we're never going to touch it again from the source, so the source can just go away. The more common usage is one way, which says that it's going to flow from the source to the display, but not back. You can imagine that that would be useful for many fields where we want to display data, but we don't expect the user to change it. And then there's two-way, which is, okay, here's the data that we have, and user, you're free to change it and then hit a button or in any way signal that you're done changing, and it will be written back to the source and then persisted from there. It supports all three.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. And that works very well. Now, one thing that I also run across is I have a data object and it doesn't match type exactly with what is in the UI display. So, you know, sometimes you have a string in a business object and you want to display that string. Well, the binding there is obvious. But sometimes I have, say, a bool or something in my business object and I want to change that into, say, the color red in my visual display. How do we start to tackle that?
Right. You have two options there, and there are a number of classic cases. You raised one. Another is that you have a string that you want to turn into a color, or you have a concept of a time, but it's not actually a date-time object, and you need to convert it. There are a number of places where you might want to do data conversion. And you have two options. One is if you believe that the nature of that data ought to be the responsibility of your business object, then you can do it in the set and get accessors of your business object as you would in any environment. However, if you're making the conversion entirely because of the needs of some control at the visual level, then it makes no sense to burden your business object with that. And so we're going to hand that over to the binding object. The binding object can take an object that implements iValueConverter, I believe, is the interface. And that interface has just two methods, convert and convert back. You only need convert back if you're doing two-way binding. So essentially what it does is it takes the initial type, whatever is in the data, and it converts it into the type that the target expects, and then the target receives the type that it expects. And it's up to you to write the conversion in whatever way is meaningful from your data. But it's seamless and it's very clean. And if you use that in conjunction with the data validation is set up to handle validating two types of validation. One is exceptions that happen inside the data binding, and the other is exceptions that happen inside the data class itself when data is flowing back in two-way binding.
Right. Great. Well, Jesse, thank you so much. That's a perfect overview of what data binding gives us and how it's implemented in Silverlight.
Well, I very much appreciate it. I will say that I've got a couple of blog posts that go into a little bit more detail, and we do have some videos for those who want to really sink into this on silverlight.net. I very much appreciate the opportunity to talk with you again.
Thank you.